Full Story is supported by AMP Super. There are moments in life where everything shifts. A new job, a new home, a new direction. But those same moments can also shape your future. AMP calls these super moments. Times to check in on your super. And with 24/7 digital financial advice, AMP Super helps you make more confident decisions as your situation changes. Search AMP Super Moments to find out more. AMP Super. Built for life's super moments. AMP Super, issued by NM Superannuation Proprietary Limited. See PDS and TMD on amp.com.au and consider what's right for you.
Sarah Martin and Sarah Basford-Canales, hello. Thank you so much for joining us all the way from Farah.
Hello.
Thanks for being with us.
You guys have had a very busy weekend so far. It's been big. Some are calling it a political earthquake. How huge is this win for One Nation?
This is a historic win for One Nation. It's the first time One Nation has won a seat in the House of Representatives, and it's a comprehensive victory. At the end of the day, this wasn't a close contest between David Farley and Michelle Millthorpe. One Nation won pretty much every booth outside of the major areas of Albury and Griffith, and the predictions of an orange wave have come to pass.
Have come true. Sarah Basford-Canales?
Yeah, and I just to add to that as well, like as Sarah said, the numbers are pretty sheer here. We're talking nearly 40% of the primary vote went to the One Nation candidate, David Farley. That's considerably more than the Liberals and the Nationals and Labor, for that matter, have achieved in other seats, even in the federal election. So just to give you an example as well of where the Liberal Party and the Nationals came in jointly, they received just over 20% of the primary vote. That's for them both together. Whereas Michelle Millthorpe, the independent who came in second, achieved 28.4% of the vote. So yeah, One Nation has completely blown this out of the water, as many did predict, but probably didn't predict as widely as we have seen on Saturday night.
I just think it's also important to reference the fact that this seat has been held by the Liberal and National parties for 75 years. This is a seat that people clearly think has been taken for granted, and that's clearly no longer going to be allowed by communities like this.
Because a lot was made of the Liberals and Nationals making a decision to give preferences to One Nation. So in the end, did that factor in at all to their big win?
It was certainly a factor. Clearly he needed some preferences to get over the line. That's how, obviously with our preferential voting system, that's pretty standard. But a primary vote of more than 40% is still very significant.
It's still big. So communities like this, Sarah Martin, you've just alluded to this, but was this a protest vote? Was this all about sending a message, or can we say there's some sort of permanent shift in Australia here?
It's a really good question.
He's
late for footy.
Oh, everyone's at community sport this morning.
Yeah, BB Saints.
Yeah, okay. All right, big game?
Yes, Jindra. Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
Okay. So we went out to the Brocklesby Burrumbuttock Football Club to have a chat to One Nation voters, or have a chat to voters, but we actually found it very difficult to find people who weren't planning to vote for One Nation.
You voted already?
No, One Nation.
Yeah, One Nation?
I just reckon a bit of change, Pauline Hanson. Just something different. Like, I feel like Liberals and Labor have just been in charge for ages now and just need to put a spot.
Yeah, I went One Nation, so yeah. Oh, just pick of the bunch, I think. So,
is it because you like their policies, or is it because you're shitty with the other parties?
No, I'll probably follow what they follow. I'm not big into politics, but yeah. they're pro life as well. So, probably the net zero thing as well.
It was really interesting to talk to them about the reasons. I would say that overwhelmingly, it was a protest vote. There was mixed views, but there were concerns about cost of living. There were concerns about the fact that this has been in coalition hands for 75 years, and yet they have a hospital that is not delivering on the community's needs. That was one issue. There was concern about fuel prices. There was concern about, just really mixed grievances. I don't think anyone really talked about the fact that they thought that One Nation was offering solutions. It felt overwhelmingly like they wanted to send a message that you can't take this community for granted. Things need to change. We're fed up with the status quo, and it's a big up yours to Canberra.
why are people unhappy with the coalition, you know, traditionally conservative coalition seat?
Well, they probably just haven't represented us well. It seems like our vote gets taken for granted, so whether it's feels like that they just more like puppets now than representatives of their locals, so...
Look, politics everywhere in the world is a joke, right? So it doesn't matter who you vote for, nothing's going to change at the moment. You've got a leader that's an idiot, and you've got no opposition.
Mm.
And you look at Britain, you've got a leader who's another idiot, and there's no opposition.
Mm.
When you look at the opposition, you think, well, who do you want to vote for?
Mm.
There's just nobody.
Do you think Australia is having its reform moment?
Oh, definitely. But as I say, I don't know.
What do you think about One Nation doing so well? Does that surprise you at all?
Not at all.
I think it's about time.
I reckon it's great.
I hope they get in.
So do I.
Yeah,
That's the party that I haven't voted yet, but I've got to do that.
I think it's a lot in the small communities that's the feel that we're going for because it's probably the only ones that are sticking up for us
and so you're looking at their policies. I guess I'm trying to work out, is it a pro One Nation or is it an anti everyone else?
I don't know. Yeah,
probably in the middle.
So yeah.
So what do you like about Farley and Pauline?
I think she's a straight talker.
She's black and white, isn't she? Yeah, that's what I like about her. Yeah.
I think we all like that. Yep. Like, you know, tell us to it straight. Tell us what you're going to give us.
Yeah, and
that's what we want to hear. Round in circle.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Yep. Mm. Yeah.
And so if David Farley wins Barra, obviously that's the first time One Nation has won a House of Representatives seat in Australian history. Do you think that will be a sign of things to come?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yep, definitely. So, yeah.
Okay. Yep. Well, that's great.
Yeah, well,
thank
I'm just
you.
Sorry because...
No,
I'm
don't apologise.
Thank you.
No worries.
Do you want to talk like about One Nation or anything today?
Mum, where are the flowers? Oh, the flowers.
Sarah, you were at Michelle Millthorpe's election night party. What was their feeling? Why didn't an independent win instead and capitalise on this backlash against major parties?
Yeah, I think Millthorpe, especially when she entered the race, looked pretty promising, and this was prior to One Nation announcing their turn or their attempt to win the seat. Over the weeks, we've seen One Nation continue to rise and garner that popularity within the seat because of that frustration that Sarah's mentioned already, that the coalition had taken Farah for granted for too long. And so the sentiment was actually quite similar, maybe almost identical within Millthorpe's camp, that Farah had been taken for granted and forgotten about as a safe coalition seat for decades. And this was the time for a true community independent to try and deliver on the promises that a major party never could. Unfortunately, at the end of the day for Millthorpe's team, they were dealing with a very frustrated and disaffected community that has learned that Canberra doesn't have the solutions or can't fix the problems that they have in the community. And Pauline Hanson and David Farley's messaging ultimately just won them over in the end. And I think we saw a lot of disappointment within Millthorpe's camp because they thought they got quite close at the last election and this was their chance that, you know, the coalition had finally lost the seat, and it ultimately did, but it just went to another party in that interim.
One thing that we also detected really strongly from One Nation voters was this, so the effectiveness of this campaign against Michelle Millthorpe, that she was a teal candidate and that she was receiving money from Climate 200, that obviously had really effectively penetrated the electorate. Pretty much, I mean, I would say half of the One Nation, at least half of the One Nation voters we spoke to mentioned that as a problem. Obviously, the Greens are not, they're not the type of party that does well in a regional area like this. And so by tainting Michelle Millthorpe with that brush, that really damaged her, I think. She was on the defensive on that. I think we were just chatting before whether that's something that's going to influence how that movement funds other regional independent voices, because clearly that was a problem for her campaign. And I think that's something that other future community independents are going to have to really consider.
That's also interesting because that was the message put out by the Liberals and Nationals, and yet it affected One Nation voters.
It was a very successful negative campaign, and One Nation ran a very negative campaign.
Just on One Nation, it's worth noting that The Guardian was actually barred from attending their election event.
I think it's a head shake. Oh, he's calling.
All right. Sorry, guys. Not allowed.
Okay. No worries.
Have
thanks.
A great
no
worries.
I mean, what does that tell us about the future of the party and the relationship with media?
Yeah, it wasn't the first time that One Nation has done that, even this week. Earlier in the week, ABC journalists from two different teams were denied entry or booted out from a press conference that One Nation was going to hold at their campaign headquarters in Albury. And then the following night, another team was actually removed from a panel that wasn't organised by One Nation. It was organised by Karl Stefanovic's team for his live podcast show, and yet they were still removed. And obviously, at The Guardian, we faced a denial of entry as well to the election night party. We tried to get in, but we were told that we wouldn't be able to, and that only select media were allowed in. I think this obviously for us and for the public broadcaster doesn't bode well. If One Nation want to be a mainstream political force in Australia and they want to treat the media with this sort of disregard, to pick and choose media that they feel will be less critical of them, I think it says more about the character of the party than it probably does say about the media that's barred.
Particularly their decision to ban ABC Regional, I thought was really shocking. ABC Regional is the lifeblood of a lot of these communities. They're there in bushfires. They are an absolute source of community information in areas like this. So I thought that was really surprising. Banning The Guardian may be less surprising, but, you know, it's something that should concern all of us without, you know, getting too inside the beltway. Having a robust media that can challenge and question and criticise political parties is pretty fundamental to a democracy. And if they're going to, you know, do the Trump thing and go down the fake news, ban journalists, go down that path, then I think that's something we should all be really concerned about. It wasn't about us being cold on the footpath of the ABC, although that wasn't great fun. It's more about actually how they're approaching this rise and how they're using the media to get there. That's something that we should all be really alert to, because it's about controlling their message. It's about bypassing the media completely. That's what they want to do ultimately. They want to talk directly to people, and they're using social media very effectively to do that. But obviously, we believe that the media still has a very critical role to play, and, you know, it's concerning that that's the path they're taking.
And, Sarah, at this point, I have to ask you, you've done so much reporting on One Nation, on Pauline Hanson, her association with Gina Rinehart, with Donald Trump, gifting of a plane. Did any of that play with the supporters that you spoke to?
Well, we sort of had a bit of you know, argy-bargy with some of the volunteers on booths about some of these issues. And it was interesting. There were mixed views about it. Interesting speaking to another volunteer, he said that he had heard some concern about them receiving money from Gina Rinehart from some would-be voters. It was interesting when we asked people why they were dissatisfied with the major parties. And one of the reasons was not just they're not serving our interests. It's like, well, whose interests do you think they're serving? And one of the people we spoke to said their own interests or corporate interests. And so I think, you know, people are concerned about money in politics and the major parties being captured by some of those corporate interests. So I think Pauline Hanson's association with Gina Rinehart and Hancock Prospecting is one that is really important for people to know about. If that is one of the concerns about the major parties, well, they need to have a look at One Nation and see if that's actually any different. I think we know from our reporting that they sought to conceal that relationship and the extent of that relationship. Particularly, I thought it was fascinating to hear Pauline Hanson last night talk about potentially taxing gas exporters. Their association with someone like Gina Rinehart is really important context for people to understand, depending on what they may do or not with such a policy. So, look, we can only do our jobs to the best of our ability and keep trying to hold a party like One Nation to account, because the counterfactual is, you know, we may as well just pack up and go home, right?
We'll be right back.
Full Story is supported by CommBank. CommBank is dedicated to using the latest tech to create real change. From utilizing agentic AI to outsmart cybercrime, to solving complex problems at scale, their teams support more than 17 million Australians every day. And you could be part of it. CommBank is looking for senior technologists to help influence strategy, security, and innovation across one of Australia's leading tech environments. If you're a curious mind who thrives on collaboration and is eager to engineer real impact, search CommBank Tech Careers.